To stand the 2013 season for $7,500 due when the foal stands and nurses. Now, this is a horse that sired 14 stakes horses in his first two crops of racing, age 11 this year, and six of one are placed in graded stakes. He's a sire such runner as Silvermax, winner this year of the Grade 2 American Turf Stakes at Churchill, the Grade 2 Virginia Derby, Keeneland's Grade 3 Transylvania, the Arlington Classic, and the Oliver Stakes at Indiana Downs, where he also set a record going a mile, 133-4. Of Silver Medallion, winner of the 2012 Grade 3 Fort Lauderdale Stakes at Gulfstream Park, and of earlier stakes at Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and Calder, two of them graded stakes. The South American champion and Grade 1 stakes winner, Fly Alexis Fly, an imported colt who ran second in this year's Super Derby. And that's just to mention a few of the superior runners by Badge of Silver. Badge of Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire, posted 11 triple-digit buyers. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. He's a lot of horse for $7,500, and there's a 6% discount if the fee's paid by November 1. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we're here an hour early, and we're going to be an hour early for the next 3 weeks coming up.
And 10 pounds heavier.
10 pounds full of turkey.
Right.
Well, we've got football today, and for the next three Saturdays, there's an early basketball game, so we will be on from 11, from 9 till 11 for the next three Saturdays also. So keep that in mind, and we'll move right along with this one. We're here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center, getting ready to do some clocking. I'm not. I'm going to sit here and shoot off my mouth while everybody else works. Greg Bertram's going to come on the show. He's new here at the Thoroughbred Center, but he's been around a long time. He's got a farm over in, Jesmond County, and he is an old-timer. Everybody out here knew him but me for some reason, and I guess that's because I'm too young. But he's going to come on at about 10 o'clock. Michael Blowen is going to be here soon. Whenever he gets here, you know, Michael, he shows up whenever he pleases. Going to talk to, I did talk to Doug Byers. Dr. Byers, he gave me a call on Thursday. It was great to hear him. He's still up at the Mayo Clinic. Had a little setback, but, you know, Doug's a fighter, and he will be, Well, we're just keeping in touch and keep him in your prayers. We're going to take a look at, well, they're running the Remsen and the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. A couple of nice two-year-old races today. There's also a Philly Stake up at Churchill. Might take a look at some old winners of that. And we'll give Steve Moody a chance to pick a winner of the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. What's the name of that other race? The Golden's what? Can't remember. And, of course, we've got Jackie's announcements. So, having a pretty good month here at the Thoroughbred Center. Since last week's show, we have had 13 winners since last week's show. We have had so far this month 30 winners, which is not too bad. That's 30 winners in how many days? What the hell is today? Is it 24th or 23rd? And anyway, the winners of... trainers of those winners, Wayne Mogie, Tim Hsu, Ted Lucas, Floyd Cobb, Kellen Gorder, Rod McDowell, Tom Bergen, Robert Sturgeon, Oscar Modica. That's a Sunday phone.
I know it is.
I don't have
Where's a Saturday?
Somebody, I think they sold it.
Oh, my God. They have a hell of a nerve.
I know.
What?
Anyway.
Who sold his racing form?
Somebody sold my racing form. Robert Sturgeon, Oscar Modico, Jimmy Cargan, Bobby Sturgeon again, Tommy Skinner, and Wayne Mogie. Wayne is having a pretty good month. He's had five winners so far this month, two at Churchill and three at the Mountain. Hey, you're still wearing some breakfast. Other side.
Thank you, Dad.
It's all right. I'll get you a bib.
Thank you. I need one, believe me, especially today.
This is Michael Blowen who came in here this late. Anyway, that's
Wayne. Quite a list.
Yeah, Wayne's having a good month. He was in here just a little bit earlier and says, make sure you plug me. Consider yourself plugged.
Oh, my goodness. Right. We have to have a moment of silence for Matt Howard and his Kansas State team.
No.
Oh. Don't we? Matt Howard and his Kansas State team, we have a moment of silence.
Oh, yeah.
They got derailed on their way to immortality.
That was on the do not mention list.
Did you know that he was wearing a black armband?
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Did you see that?
I was surprised to see him alive, actually.
Right. Well, it wasn't even close, you know. It's kind of embarrassing. You thought they were Kentucky.
As I say, moment of silence. We're not going to say much more than that.
Yeah, they thought we were Kentucky. Comes Tommy Bergen.
He jumped off the bridge, but it was the North Elkhorn, so he just got muddy and wet.
I told you I talked to Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael, I got to tell the story on you now. You said that that Doug is always fussing about people throwing trash out in front of his farm. And Michael spent about a couple of hours out there picking up trash in front of his farm. I told him I was going to buy him an orange jacket.
Yeah, I'm practicing for when I eventually get my prison term. Maybe they'll make me in charge of the group.
Yeah.
You've been picking up trash. You know how to do this? Yes. Yeah, that was Doug's pet peeve. He'd go by there and grumble all the time. Look at that. There's another beer can. There's another thing from McDonald's or wherever it came from. And he would complain all the time. He'd get out and clean it up and he'd get
back. So you've been out picking up trash.
Picking up trash.
Yes, you're great. I haven't picked up any trash since I got married. So,
anyway. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Oh, my goodness.
What's going on out your way?
Well, I got a nice call from John Asher the other day up at Churchill Downs.
Oh, yeah.
And tomorrow, you know, is Churchill. They close the meet tomorrow. And they're going to retire a horse named Reddy's Rocket.
Reddy's Rocket. Okay.
Reddy's Rocket.
Doesn't ring a bell.
He's trained by Tim
too often anymore.
So there you go. He was he's trained by Tim Glyshaw, and they believe that he's won more races at Churchill Downs than any horse in history.
Okay.
And so John was wondering whether we would take him, and I told him we'll take him. We're gonna have to. Tim's gonna put him on his farm for a while, but they're gonna have a. He'll eventually come to Old Friends, and tomorrow they're going to do a retirement ceremony for him at Churchill Downs, so we'll go up there.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. What time does that?
I'm not sure, but I plan to be there for first post, you know, because they got to give away all the money tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, the pick sixes, fives, and whatever the carryovers are.
The high fives.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Oh, well.
They got to give it away tomorrow, so it should be fun.
Yeah. Well, is this claiming horse or?
Yeah, you know, low level allowance horse, claiming horse. You know, I think he's like 10 years old, or he's 9, 10, or 11 years old. I mean, he's been around for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Jackie said, "Well, now I better not talk about that."
What?
Come
on, that's what everybody wants to hear when you're not supposed to talk about it.
This is still in the rumor stage.
Oh.
It was on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
It can't be confirmed. It can't.
I better not talk about it.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Stay tuned next week.
I'll tell you.
Next week, we'll give somebody a reason to turn it on next week.
I'll tell you off mic. All right. Off the mic.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get that treat. But things are going well. Got a lot of people on tours. We're starting this thing, Athletes Helping Athletes, and I'm trying to get professional human athletes to support some of the horses at the farm, and I got Hall of Fame linebacker Sam Hupp all tied into delay of game.
Well, heck, he is the leading breeder in West Virginia.
Yes.
Boy, he was a good football player.
Oh, was he ever. Wasn't he? Yeah. I told him, I said, I saw Paul Horning the other day. He limps around. He's got a cane and everything. He says, yeah, I dropped him in Green Bay. He's a funny guy, Sam. He remembers all this stuff. And he still gets ticked off when he talks about getting traded for the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins later in his career.
That was, golly, he was playing back in the 50s, wasn't he? How old was
60s. That? Yeah. Yeah. Late 50s. Yeah, sure. 57? Yeah.
Used to see him on.
I always thought he was in black and white. Because
me, too. That's all I ever saw him in.
Yeah.
And the who was a good running back for Cleveland at that time?
Jimmy Brown.
Yeah, he and Jimmy Brown used to have.
Oh, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You know, back then, the area here carried all the Cleveland games, so there's still a lot of Cleveland fans
sure.
here in Kentucky, you know.
Well, and Jim Brown's gone back to work for the Browns, actually.
Has he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a really interesting guy. He was here a year or two ago. at Georgetown College gave a talk. Was interviewed for their archives, and really, it was really very interesting.
What was he talking about?
All kinds of things: football, politics. You know, growing up in the United States. I mean, really, really interesting. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah,
he took a lot of hits, but it didn't affect his brain. I'll tell you what.
Is he still sound?
Oh yeah. Well, he was gimpy then. He just had two knees operated on. So.
Oh well, a lot of people never play football have that.
Well, that's what I tell him about the horses. That's what they all have in common. That's what I told Sam. I said, look, you know, yeah, little gimpy too. You're not running as fast as you used to either. You know?
Well, he was some kind of a linebacker. Well, I've got to take a break. We'll get right back to you.
Yes, sir.
Well, last Saturday at Churchill, the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf Stakes was won by Lee, a 3-year-old colt by First Samurai, bred and owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. Winner of 3 of his 5 starts and never out of the money, Lee went into the Commonwealth Turf off a closing 3rd in the Grade 3 Hawthorne Derby. Prior to that, he'd posted 2 wins at Saratoga. He was one of 9 2012 stakes winners, sired by First Samurai, and 3 more placed in stakes this year. One of the 9 stakes winners is the Fleet 2-year-old filly Executive Privilege, winner of 4 stakes, including the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante, the Grade 1 Chandelier, the Grade 3 Sorrento, and 2nd in the Grade 1 Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She is a contender for an Eclipse Award for Champion 2-year-old filly. 7 of First Samurai's 12 2012 stakes winners, stakes horses, I should say, have won a place in graded stakes. First Samurai, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner and a son of champion sire Giant's Causeway, stands at Claiborne Farm for $25,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. For inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. Want to say a little bit about my good buddy Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Had a friend give him a recommended to Tom just the other day. Looking for a little land here. I hope he got a hold of Tom all right. Tom is, as far as I'm concerned, the premier real estate agent here in the area. He always has a great listings on his website, which is BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N Brokerage.com. And he's got a great, that website is a great website. You need to go look at it. And if you're thinking about selling your farm, that's the place to list it, is with Tom Biederman. Or if you're looking for a place, well, he's got them all sizes, all shapes, and all prices. So you need to get in touch with him. His phone number is 277-2030. And, for instance, let me give you a couple of places that he's got for sale. there's a place over at on Jackstown Road in Paris, Kentucky. Now, Jackstown is a road. Adina Springs is built out there now, and it's they're really developing it out there. Gorgeous place in 96 acres. It's a turnkey working thoroughbred farm. 44 stalls, 3-bedroom, 1-bath brick home. And it's right close to Adina Springs, so you'd have great neighbors out there. And, of course, over on Troy Pike down in Versailles, there's 75 acres there called Elmwood Farm, and it's a truly beautiful farm. It's a great place. Once again, that's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. And the phone number is 277-2030.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years. And during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right. Hey, this magazine that you gave me, many years ago. Do you remember
that?
Yes, sir. I was just looking.
Mahmood on the cover.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Blood Horse from February the 6th, 1943. And it's got a picture of Mahmood, the Epsom Derby winner of Rompson, Kentucky's recent 12-inch snowfall at the C.V. Whitney Farm.
Oh, wow.
And then on the back cover, there's the stallions.
Quite a list.
Oh, and I started going through it, and I just brought it along. I'm going to fiddle around with it a little bit today. There's some really interesting stuff in here.
Some great ads in there, too.
That's what I look at, yeah. You know, I haven't read the text yet, you know, but you know, here's Claiborne Farm, Stallions, and Sir Galahad and Blenheim, Flares, Jacopo, Road Scholar, Snark, Pompey, Hardtack.
Oh, Hardtack.
Yeah.
Seabiscuit's sire, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bred a whole lot like Man of War.
Look at that.
Yeah. Seabiscuit was bred a lot like Man of War, you know. So
we have what we think is the last in the line of Seabiscuit at the farm.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Horse named Mixed Pleasure. He's 27 years old, goes back to Seabiscuit. He came from California.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. How'd you get a hold of him?
I forget. No, no. Some people called up from California. He was in a bad situation.
Oh.
So he's one of our subsidized horses.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, they're the best kind.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, we subsidize him. We we have people like Lane's and Bird Jones. And
they're paying for
like
the others,
that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're subsidizing the others, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got Gulch, of course, and Brary's got Patton out there. And,
yeah, we got three of them, Brary's.
Mm-hmm.
You and I.
You and you've got you and I
mm-hmm.
now. What's the name of that good filly head? You. Yeah.
You. Yeah.
What she went out of Keeneland? She won a...
She won a couple. Bobby Frankel had her, actually. We even have a couple of her trophies from the Bobby Frankel collection.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's neat.
Yeah, really neat. Now, speaking of Bobby Frankel, we got the Matriarch coming out at Hollywood Park, and between he and Charlie Whittingham, they own that race. It was unbelievable. In fact, Jay Hubdy has a good column in tomorrow's Racing Form about the Matriarch and Bobby Frankel, and
yeah.
It's a good column.
You want to look at tomorrow's form?
No, I've got tomorrow's. I'm looking for today's.
Well, I
went. They were sold out already of today's.
Wow.
I don't know why that is.
Well, see, they're closed. I normally get mine out of the office over here, the general office, you know, but the office is closed for the holidays, so they dropped them off at the guard shack down here.
Oh, yeah, forget that.
And whoever was at the guard shack sold it. They owe me
$7. That's funny.
I didn't think it was funny.
Well, I'm sure you didn't, but that's what comedy is. The person who's getting made fun of is the only one who doesn't think it's funny. You know, when Charlie Chaplin fell down all those times, took all those brat balls, he didn't think it was that funny, but everybody else laughed.
Well, I'm going through withdrawal now. I mean, that's it.
So, did you have a good Thanksgiving? Was it good?
Oh, I figured that. You know, I've been on a diet since last spring and have been holding
on. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I haven't noticed.
So, thanks anyway. But I've been holding it down,
that
you know, my
there.
Weight down, but I'm afraid to get back on the scale. Matt brought Dutch, Matt and Crystal brought Dutcher over.
Nice.
Dutcher brought mom and dad.
Yeah, Dutcher brought mom and dad. That's what they brought down to. So they came over for Thanksgiving. And
they're already riding his coattails.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, right. Dutcher loved the cats. We've got six cats.
How's your horse doing?
Oh, he's doing fine.
Good.
Yeah. He's got a little chilly yesterday. I put a blanket on him.
Jeez. I don't want my horses to find this out.
Yeah.
I don't want word to get around.
Yeah, he's just so
you get to be his age. We'll put a blanket on you.
Okay, good. Well, let's see. Clever Alamont's going to be 31 in January.
Yeah, but he's not skinny, is he?
Not anymore.
This horse came in.
Yours won't be skinny for very long either.
He came in real thin. Yeah. You know, no muscle tone or anything like that, you know. So.
Well, that's part of the fun of all this. You get great satisfaction. You know, people can win races and all that, and that's great. It's fabulous. But, you know, you see these horses, they come in and they're a little ouchy and a little this and a little that. And you just beat them and take care of them, and then all of a sudden they start to bloom again. I mean, the coats on our horses the last couple of weeks have just been absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
They're glowing from inside. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's health.
We have Sarah Arnold, who Rusty Arnold's wife. She comes every week, takes care of Delay of Game. Mm-hmm. Was a big horse for Russ. He earned over $800,000. And ran in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, he's a nice horse. Yeah. And now she comes every week and takes care of him.
He came over from George's place, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, until George passed away.
Yes. And Rusty supports him, and Sarah takes care of him. She brings up, she walks all the way up to the back where he is, and she's got this big feed bag full of alfalfa.
Yeah.
All the other horses that she walks by get mad at her because there's nothing in it for them. But that's the satisfaction, of course, is that you see how well these horses do after a while, and it's just wonderful to get up every day and see them.
I knew George real well. Back, I was going to high school out of Lafayette. He got out of the service and came out to finish. You know, so he was a couple of these 3 years older than everybody out there. Of course, all the little girls went gaga.
Yeah.
Of course, George was a good-looking guy anyway, but, you know, he cut quite a swath through the high school girls.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know about that.
Me either.
I might have cut something, but it wasn't a swath. I can tell you that much.
Times were changing, you know.
Yes. Well, if anybody wants to, I know it's a little brisk today, but we got the golf cart at the ready, and it's fully charged, so we give the abbreviated tour today with the horse blankets. So if anybody'd like to come out and see some of the old guys, it's doing tours today at 10, 1, and 3. And then after Christmas, we'll be doing them, we'll be cutting back a little bit because we don't get as many people, and we don't want the tour guides to freeze to death, so we'll be doing one tour a day every day. We'll figure out what time
after
that'll
Christmas.
Be. After Christmas. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Yeah. Well, you send out these tour guides that are volunteers in cold weather with two people, you know, three times a day. You know, it doesn't quite work out that
we
way.
We send a lot of people from over here.
I know you do, and I really appreciate it.
So,
it's really, really nice. Yeah. Well, I'll be able to make an announcement, I think, in a couple of weeks. We're working on a really big project with the Racing Hall of Fame and Museum.
Oh, great.
That'll be, I think, a lot of fun, and we're working on a lot of interesting things during the winter. The spring's going to be huge. So.
Yeah. Besides the thing at Churchill Downs coming up, anything else coming up soon?
No, but it's never too early to make your reservations for old friends along the Bourbon Trail in February.
What, Ben?
All old friends along the Bourbon Trail. It's one of our most popular events for obvious reasons.
I think Matt Howard started his Bourbon Trail last night.
Yeah, we can all have our own personal trail.
All right, Michael.
But anyway, that's in February, and if people want to make reservations, it's available on the oldfriendsequine.org website, and it's a lot of fun, and we'll keep you up to date.
Sounds good.
All right.
All
right. Thanks, Ursel.
All right. We'll be checking in with you later.
And you do look much better. I did. I was only kidding about that diet deal.
Yeah, you hurt my feelings.
What do you want?
Michael, we're on again early again next week.
Yes, sir. I'll be ready.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Well, Mizzen Mass is a special kind of sire. It takes a special kind of sire to sire two winners of Breeders' Cup races in 1 year. One, a four-year-old filly sprinting. That's Misdirection in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, which beat the boys. And the other, a two-year-old filly going a mile, and this is her first start in this country, Flotilla, in a Grade 1 race. Of course, the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. But what sets Mizzen Mass apart from me are the dozens of hard-hitting runners that win a major track sprinting around two turns on every type of racing surface. As a leftover from doing a race result show for some 50 years, I still check out the winners at every track in America every day. Can't break the habit. So thank you, Bloodstock Information Services. Couldn't do it without you. And I see the Mizzen Mass winning from coast to coast. For instance, just a couple of days ago, Phantom Lover, colt by Mizzen Mass, bred by Glencrest Farm, he posted a wire-to-wire win in a $48,000 allowance race around two turns at Hollywood Park. It was on an artificial course. That's his second win in a row. I see those kind of runners by Mizzen Mass all the time. Runners like Phantom Lover pay the bills, and that's why Mizzen Mass, to me, is a special kind of horse. He stands at Judmont Farm, feeds 15,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
If you want to see a real racehorse, if you want to see a real racehorse, go take a look at Get Stormy. Get Stormy won 9 stakes. He earned $1,606,820. He won Grade 1 stakes at Keeneland. He won Grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs. And he won Grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream Park. He also won 2 Grade 2 stakes at Saratoga. Another graded stakes, a Grade 3 stakes at Saratoga. Another Grade 3 stakes at Keeneland. He won stakes at Monmouth Park and another at Saratoga. He placed in 6 more stakes, all graded, 2 Grade 1. And he won a maiden special at Aqueduct as a 2-year-old. So out the race where he lost his rider, and Get Stormy was on the board in 24 of 30 starts. He was a serious contender every time he went to the post. Get Stormy is a son of Stormy Atlantic, who currently ranks 10th on the list of leading sires, with 14 2012 stakes winners, 4 of them graded stakes winners, 2 grade 1, and the earners are more than $6,800,000. Get Stormy, $5,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and check the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, I was talking to Michael Blowen just a minute ago about this 1943 Blood Horse magazine that he gave me about a few months ago, and I finally sat down and looked at it. It was dated February the 6th, 1943, and on the cover is a picture of Mahmoud. Of course, won the Epsom Derby, and he's running in the snow. It's kind of a famous picture. As a matter of fact, I've seen it in lots of places around town and so forth, but some of the old ads that they ran in here, for instance, on the back cover, they got Mr. Whitney has his stallions advertised, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, and only two of them were standing at the Whitney Farm, which of course is now part of Gainesway Farm right next door here. Both these horses are buried over there, by the way. Mahmoud, who he was the 1936 Epsom Derby winner, I'm pretty sure. I think set a new track record that day, and his stud fee was $1,000 at the time. Of course, I guess that's probably 10,000 now. And then Boojum was standing over at the Whitney Farm also. His stud fee was $1,500. And he was by John P. Greer out of a mare named Elf. I think it was by Sickle. But he was a shy breeder. And in this advertisement, they said his exclusive of his 1942 two-year-olds. He sired only 9 foals. 8 of these have raced, and 7 are winners. And from those 8 foals, he sired Snark, and he was a top-class racehorse. Thingamabob and Jub-Jub, 3 stakes winners. So, but he was a shy breeder. The other stallions that belonged to Mr. Whitney was Firethorn. Firethorn was a top. He was a great stayer. But he was standing over at Mr. Walter Jeffords' farm. He was on a partnership with Mr. Whitney. He was my son, Briar, of a man of war mare. He was standing Halcyon, full of 1928 by Broomstick at a Prudery by Peter Pan, another top race mare. His stud fee was $200. Peace Chance was there. He was the son of Chance Stott. He was Chance Shot. He was standing for $100. And he was standing over at Homewood Farm, which is over on, Mr. R.M. Young owned that place. And I'm trying to think of the name of that road. I can't think of the name of the road. I used to live on it. That's how my mind's going. Carrier Pigeon, who was by Equipoise, was standing free to approve marriage, and his book was full. And he was standing over Miss Charlie Asbury's Hedgewood Farm. And Sky Raider, and listen to this pedigree, he was by Man of War at a Top Flight, who was a champion race mare. She was the old, she set the record for money winnings for a filly and mare, stood for many, many years, up in the 40s. She was, I think, a two-year-old in 1930. I'm pretty sure that's right. Sky Raider, Carrier Pigeon, neither one of them turned out to be much of a stud horse. Peace Chance was a pretty good horse. And, of course, Mahmood was a great sire. Looking at some other ads in the thing, Elmendorf Farm, who was owned by Joseph E. Widener at the time, and Pete Widener, P.A.B. Widener, was there. They were standing sickle for $1,500, and his book was full because he was a very successful sire. Chance Shot, Brevity, Unbreakable, who was the sire of Preakness winner and top sire Polynesian. Of course, he was the sire of Man of War. Sire of Native Dancer. Roman was there. He was a Sir Galahad, the third horse, really good speed sire. He was standing for $200 fee. He went to with Lou Doherty. Lou, I think, was managing that farm at Elmendorf for a while, and then he set up, bought the stallion station over on Russell Cave Road. He bought it from Grant Dorland. It was Roseland Farm, and then till he bought it, and went in partnership with Harold Snowden. And Roman went over there to stand, ended his career standing at the stallion station. Haste, who was a pretty good kind of a sire, he was standing for $250, but he moved down to Timberland Farm, which Mr. E.K. Thomas's place down in Paris, Kentucky. Over at Colonel E.R. Bradley's farm, Idlehour Stock Farm, they were standing two studs, both of them very successful horses, Bimelit and Blue Larkspur. And all inquiries were to Olin Gentry. And what a fine old man he was. I used to talk to him quite often when he was managing Darby Dam. Had Rebo and all those horses over there. Gee whiz, the Swap stood there, and Summertan, Sailor. At this time it was Bimelic and Blue Larkspur. One by Black Tony and one by Black Servant. And their fees, Bimelic was $1,000 and Blue Larkspur was just $7,500. I would have rather bred to Blue Larkspur, to tell you the truth. I never was real high on Bimelic. I saw him get beat too often. He got beat in the Derby when he was a favorite. I remember he went up to run in the Arlington Classic, and Dixiana beat him with a horse named Scirocco. Beat him by 7 lengths that day. But anyway. Let's see who else is in here. This is Mr. Horace Davis over on Old Frankford Pike, Bluegrass Heights Stock Farm. He was standing cohort, who was an imported horse. Pretty good sire winners. And Andy Kay was by Jack High. And that's kind of funny here. That Andy Kay was standing $150 for a live colt or $100 for a live filly. That's kind of sexist, isn't it? gee whiz, probably get ruled off of that. Mr. Hal Price Healy had a pretty good couple of pretty good studs. Me Now, who was standing for $1,000, and of course he went on to be a top sire. He was bred by Mr. Healy. He was by Fairmont II, who was standing for $500 there. Fairmont was imported by Mr. Healy, bought him from the Aga Khan. He was by Phalaris out of Saline. And, of course, he sired Me Now, and Me Now was a very successful stud, standing for $1,000. He also had a horse named Sir Damien, who was standing for $100, return. They married him again before we get to send it back. Sir Damien was by Sir Galahad, out of an Omer Khayyam. Omer Khayyam, the first imported horse to win the Kentucky Derby. So those three were the stud horses there at Beaumont Farm. Merriworth was standing, of course, that was Walter Simon Sr., Dr. Robert Bardwell was the manager out there at that time. He was a veterinarian, and he was standing this play, a Son of Fair play, for $350. Ariel, Son of Eternal. Ariel was really a top sire of speed horses. And topped a two-year-old sire list several times. Swift and Sure was imported. He was by Swinford. He was standing for 150. He didn't do too well. Neither did Bell Athol, who was also imported. But the other horse did. Hairan, H-A-I-R-A-N. He was an imported horse by Fairway, and he was a pretty good kind of stud horse. Over Claven Farm at that time. And, of course, this was Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr. They had Sir Galahad III was standing book full for $1,500, no return. Blenheim II, $2,500 book full, no return. Both those horses, of course, were syndicated. Flares was standing for $250. Flares was not very – he was by Gallant Fox, of course. Very good racehorse. He was a cup horse. But not much of a sire. Jacopo was over there. He was another imported horse by Cecil Vino. His stud fee was $300. He was he did all right as a stud horse. Road Scholar for $500 by Pharos. Snark, who was by the Whitney horse Boojum I was just talking about. His full book was full for $300. Pompey was standing there. Pompey was a nice stud horse. He was by Sunbriar. Also, Stimulus and Hardtack. Hardtack, of course, the sire, Seabiscuit. Hardtack was by Man of Water. Teabiscuit by Roxanne. And he was standing for $200. And Stimulus, who was by Ultimus, he was a pretty good kind of a stud horse. His stud fee was $300. Let's see who else we had over here. Mr. Tom Pyatt's place. Brookdale Farm stood Good Goods for $500. He was the sire of Al Sab. Transmute was over there, Son of Broomstick. It was a very nice stud horse. So was Chance Son. Chance Son was a good horse. He was by Chance Shot, Epithet, and Matic. And neither one of those two. Epithet was by the French champion Epinard out of a Star Shoot mare. And he came over here and did. Epinard, I didn't know that he stood in this country, but maybe the mare was, maybe the fairy Juan, it was the dam F, that maybe she was imported in utero. Although she was by Starshoot, who stood, of course, at Hamburg Place. I don't know. Well, Jazzle is the sire of 5 stakes horses in his first crop, now 3-year-olds. 3 stakes winners and 2 that have placed in stakes. And he's rapidly gaining an international reputation for sign runners. 2 have won stakes in Europe, 1/3 in South America. South American stakes winner is Comediante, winner of 2 grade 1 stakes, including the Simon Bolivar, one of the most important races in South America. Jazzle is the sire of the fleet Just Sizzle, a recent 2nd in the 6-furlong sophomore sprint stakes and a multiple allowance winner. He's won over 102,000. And Najjar, who placed in the Rich Arlington Classic. Jazzle's also the sire of the promising 2-year-old filly Love Me Good, who placed in stakes at Delaware after running 4th in graded stakes at Churchill Downs. Jazzle won the Classic Belmont Stakes, as did his champion half-sister, Rags to Riches. His dam, of course, won graded stakes and was a broodmare of the year. His 2nd dam won the Kentucky Oaks, and his 3rd dam was also a broodmare of the year. Jazzle, by seeking the goal, is one of the best-bred young sires in the world. He stands for $4,000 live-fold at Shadwell Farm. In careers to stallion manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Tim, are you going to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen over Quillen Tack and Leather, and they have a when is Cyber Monday? Is that this coming Monday? Because they got a pretty good deal on belts. If you buy one of their belts, you get a free key tag with a halter plate belt. And the key tags, of course, I've got one. Matter of fact, I've got one of their belts. So, Ralph, you've already sold me mine. But they make great Christmas gifts. You can't go wrong. with those, and it's a great place to go and do your Christmas shopping, as a matter of fact. You can get just about everything you need right there. You also have gifts for children in there that are really nice. It's a wonderful place to visit. Nice people to talk to when you go in there. They're all friendly and everything, even Ralph. And it's really interesting place. Tourists stop by there, like bluegrass tours and everything. They stop in, people go in, look around, get to see how, what a real tack shop looks at, and it's a real tack shop. They sell over, they're the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year, and it's a wonderful place. Let me tell you how to get there. If you're coming in from Paris and from Lexington area, you go into Paris, don't turn on the bypass. You keep going to the fourth stoplight, and it's right there on your left. You can't miss it. So it's Quillen Leather and Tack. It's Quillen.com. Quillen, Quillin.com. Well, Hold Me Back is a graded stakes winner of over 872,000. He won the Grade 2 Lanes End Stakes and the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes. Ran second in the Grade 1 Travers and the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes. Along the way, met and defeated some of the best of his day. Grade 1 horses like Quality Road and Warrior's Reward. His stand for stud fee is considerably higher than Hold Me Back, $6,000, that you don't have to pay until the foal stands and nurses. Now, Hold Me Back is by champion sire Giants Causeway, who also happens to be the leading sire of 2012 stakes winners with 26, and he's out of restraint by the top sire and bridal song. Hold Me Back second dam is the champion of Vowel, dam of 3 stakes winners and grand dam of 6 others, and this is the female family that has given us the great Tom Fool. Hold Me Back covered 100 mares in his first season at stud. His first foals, which arrived this year, outstanding individuals. He stands at Windstar Farm. To book a mare for 2013, contact Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard. The number over there is 873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says...
All right, I'm dragging in Jackie here. She's been over here clocking, and Matt Howard says she's just getting in the way, so we come over here and do her announcements. And what do you got, new book over there?
Somebody dropped this off for you to look at. It's pictures from when this place was first...
Oh, what's his name up in Mike's bar?
Old pictures from when it was spendthrift.
When it was spendthrift?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thought you might like to look at it just for fun.
We rented the first barn that spendthrift built.
Well, they built the first barn, and it flooded. We called it the Titanic. And then when the hay bales were floating by and the horses, they were up to their hocks in water, we went up to, they built barn 15.
Yeah, they built 15 first, and then they built what is now barn 10.
I don't know, but we went up one day, and they were doing, barns are well built, but we went up one day and looked, and
while
they were wiring the place, the electricians were putting the on-off light switches right there where the horses could turn their own lights on and off, and we said, whoa, and these need to be moved, so... We came up and paid attention after that, so it was kind of fun.
That was the Titanic, too, boy,
That was.
Got us out of that pretty quick.
Yeah.
We went up to barn 15, just stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to move us back.
Uh-uh.
Well, they were.
Well, they've regraded it and everything now. It doesn't flood anymore.
No, it's great now.
But that was something.
You've forgotten, but, you know, originally the reason 15 was... that was the first barn finished. It was supposed to be an overflow bank barn for spendthrift. And then they cut back on their horses and just stayed in the big barn up there, which is barn 29, 30.
Yeah.
Now, the big barn. And so we just stayed on.
It was a nice barn.
Yeah.
It was a good barn.
Good barn. We had a lot of fun up there. And Leonard Atkinson was up there with us. And Carter Thornton.
Bob Falk.
The bus is right, yeah.
Yeah, we had Herb.
Herb Jones, how could I forget?
We really had a good time.
Herb and I went out and bought a bunch of hay one time together, bought a big load of hay. We had a fellow in the barn with us. I think he was on the other side. He was subleasing about two or three stalls, you know. And our hay was going a little bit fast. And I was looking at it one day, and I walked by that guy's hay rack over there. I said, dang, it looks like our hay. I got around. I said, Herb, take his horse, go around and take a look at those hay racks over there and see what you think. And he went around and came back and says, well, if that ain't our hay, it sure as hell came out of the same field.
Okay, some announcements. I want to announce one thing. Sally Horse Vans, of course, takes care of all their own vans and stuff. They build their own vans, as a matter of fact. They know everything front to back about Sally Vans, and their fleet and facility manager, Ben Eversole, takes care of your own personal van. Everybody at the Fox Hunts down at Woodford is going there. I took my trailer over there, and it had been sitting for 4 years. So he said it looked like something had chewed on the wiring, so something had been living in that trailer undercover. But anyway, they did a great job. I'm going to give you his phone number. He's got a cell phone. He's originally from Cincinnati, and his cell phone is still 513-675-8874. But call Sally Vans.
Your voice going to hold up, Jackie?
Excuse me, I had to cough. Here's an interesting one. This is crazy.
Jackie, getting over a cold here.
Here's a position
sounds
posting.
Sounds like a TB ward in here.
I know. Midway College is looking for a herd caretaker, for heaven's sakes. High energy, well organized equine professional to serve as a member of the equine studies team in the role of herd caretaker. Full time, non exempt position. I don't know what non exempt means, with a Friday to Tuesday work schedule. Responsible for providing consistency of equine facility operation to the weekends. Care of horses, facility maintenance and repairs, that lets me out. Preparing for the academic work week, restocking of materials, conditioning arena, setting up labs, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, if you're interested in that position, and that sounds kind of interesting, really, call Ann Cockley at Midway. College.
I don't think Jackie's going to be to continue. You want to?
Wait a minute. Let me see.
All right. I did it week before last.
Today is Blessing of the Hounds. At Shaker Village. If you want to watch something really fun and nice, go on down to Shaker Village. You can have lunch down there. And watch the Blessing of the Hounds and everything. It's very nice.
You want me to do those, honey?
I don't know. There's not. You might not be able to interpret the Sally Vans. You can tell them about Macaulay's senior feed that we use.
Oh, yeah. We got this old horse who's 27 years old with bad teeth. And we were worried about what to feed him. And they've got what they call maturity feed down at
longevity.
What is it? Longevity. Yeah, longevity. Well, what the hell? Mature, longevity. One and the other. Oh, longevity. And it's designed where it's in a pellet form, but as soon as it hits, they get it in their mouth, it dissolves. And so they can go on and, you know, and eat, and they don't lose anything. And we're feeding this old boy down there. We're feeding him 3 or 4 times a day in small amounts, although right now he's eating about everything you put in front of him. They love it. And he loves it. And he's starting to fill out and put on a little bit of weight. He came in, his rear end looked like a pup tent, but now it's starting to round up a little bit. And anyway, it's called longevity, and it's just another thing that they've done over our good friends down in Macaulay Brothers. Well, in my book, that's the best. They make the best damn feed in the world, I do believe. Kentucky Horse Park, Jackie, what do we got for the Kentucky Horse Park here? News relief. Birthplace of Polo, donates exhibit to International Museum of the Horse. Manipur governor gifts item to protect endangered Manipur pony. So what are they giving, Jackie?
They gave him a bunch of pony stuff and
pony stuff.
Early polo stuff.
Oh, okay.
See, I thought they
it's kind of an exhibition that they got down there.
Exhibition.
Okay, official. All right.
There is also, of course, the.
I'm not very good at these things. You said, like you say, I can't.
Can't read it.
Can't read them.
Park is closed Christmas Day. Southern Lights is up.
Southern Lights.
Southern Lights. That's about all.
Is it $10 a carload?
I think it's 10 or 15.
You're on the radio right now.
10 or 15, something like that.
Yeah.
You have the question for you in a second.
All righty. Well, meanwhile, I will, since Jackie just discontinued the goodbye, honey. Well, in stakes last Saturday, the Grade 3 $1 million Delta Downs jackpot was won by Golden Sense, 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Inner Mischief. In three starts, Golden Sense won his debut by 7 1/4 lengths. That was at Del Mar. Finished a solid second in the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes to Shanghai Bobby, a son of Harlan's Holiday, the sire also of Inner Mischief. Then the Grade 3 Delta Downs jackpot. That same day at the same track, sitting at the bar, a 2-year-old filly by Inner Mischief placed in the Grade 3 Delta Princess Stakes. Inner Mischief currently ranks second on the freshman sire list among stallions to stand the 2013 season in this country. His sire, Harlan's Holiday, is the nation's number one ranked sire on the 2012 juvenile sire list, and he was a Grade 1 stakes winner as a 2-year-old himself, Inner Mischief was. Another freshman sire based at Spendthrift Farm, Tis Wonderful, was represented by his 9th winner on November 12th when first-time starter Lucky Two bested a full field in a maiden special at Churchill Downs. Then on November 18th in Japan, Tis Tremendous became his 10th first crop winner. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and a son of Tis now, counts the Grade 3 stakes winner in Grade 1 place, My Happy Face, among his 10 first crop winners. Inner Mischief, 2013 stud fee, $7,500. Tears Wonderful, $12,500. Fees due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at bristnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the leading sire of 2012 stakes winners is Giants Causeway with 26, 13 of them graded stakes winners, 3 grade 1. And among stallions, now at stud North America, Giants Causeway ranks number 1 again. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire, and he's by Giants Causeway. He won stakes at 2, at 3, and 4. In fact, he won a place in 13 stakes, 11 graded, 4 of them grade 1. He had brilliant speed, sprinted a mile and 1:33 flat to win graded stakes, prompting Ted Pletcher to describe him as a genuine miler that could carry his speed over a distance. Besides being by champion sire Cowboys Cal, Cowboys Cal's Dam is by Seeking the Goal, and she was a multiple graded stakes winner in Classic Place. Classic Grade 1 place. Producer. Great family. Cowboy Cal stands at Pin Oak Stud for 7,500 live foal. Pin Oak Stud's also the home of Broken Vow, nation's third-ranked sire 2012 stakes winners. He's got 18. And Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic. That's our 59 stakes winners, 6 champions. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Heading down the highway.
Boy, they're still clocking over there. You still got something going again?
Just did.
How many got over there now?
64.
Oh, well, we've done better than that before. Shoot. I'm going back to that old magazine back there, talk a little bit about some stallions were standing over at Spendthrift at the time. Now, this is back in 1943, in February. He had Agrarian King Cole, Sir Herbert Barker, Great Union, Chiquillo, and Kenty. And as far as I know, none of these horses made it, because Mr. Combs came on and did pretty good after that. But King Cole was a pretty good two-year-old. He won some stakes. I know he was second in the Futurity. Whirlaway ran third to him that day, and he was by Fairmont the second. And King Cole was owned by Ogden Phipps and was standing there. The other three other horses there, none of them are note. Kenny was by Teddy, foal in 1933, so he was getting a little old. Chiquillo was by Ariel. He only ran as a two-year-old. He won the Tremont Stakes. The Great Union was a Sir Galahad a third. He was a pretty good kind of a racehorse. He won the Merchants and Citizens Handicap, beat a spouse of that. They won a Yorktown and placed in some other stakes. He was out of a mare named My Flag by American Flag. And Kenny, as I said, was by Teddy. Agrarian was by Sickle out of Mary Jane by Pennant. And he didn't turn out to be just a whole heck of a lot himself, I'll tell you. Here comes my interview, so we're going to be right on time for that. Tell you what I do, I'm going to take a break and go right to that so I can start in with my interview. And Uncle Mo was the undefeated champion two-year-old of his year. He drew rave reviews from all who saw him compete. Steve Haskins said that he was in a class from other horses. After watching Uncle Mo break his maiden at Saratoga by 14 and a half lengths, Todd Pletcher remarked that, "I can't remember a two-year-old winning as impressively as he did." He was devastating. In his second start, Uncle Mo ran a mile and 1:34.2 to win the historic Grade 1 Champagne Stakes by nearly 5 lengths. Then in his third start, he earned the Eclipse Award as a champion two-year-old by easily taking the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Stakes with an awesome 4.5-length score. Uncle Mo posted the highest buyer speed figure of his generation at 2 at 108, a feat he repeated as a three-year-old with a 118 in the Grade 2 Kelso, a performance which prompted Jerry Bailey to say, "I don't know if there's enough words to describe how impressive he was that day." A very special horse, Uncle Mo, is one of 6 champions by Indian Charlie. He's out of a stakes-placed Daughter of Arch. First foal to do next year. Stands at Kumho's Ashford Stud for $35,000, doing a foal stands and nurses. Check the website at kumho.com, and remember, the leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Kumho.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, Badger Silver is to stand the 2013 season for $7,500, doing the full stands and nurses. Now, this is a horse that has sired 14 stakes horses in his first true crops of racing age, 11 this year. 6 have won a place in graded stakes. He's a sire such runners as Silver Max, winner this year of the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill, the Grade 2 Virginia Derby, Keeneland's Grade 3 Transylvania, the Arlington Classic, the Oliver Stakes up at Indiana Downs, where he also set a track record going a mile in 1:33.4. Of him, Silver Medallion, winner of the 2012 Grade 3 Ford Lauderdale at Gulfstream, and of earlier stakes at Santa Anita, Golden Gate, and Calder. 2 of them graded stakes. A South American champion in Grade 1 stakes winner Fly Lexus Fly, an imported colt who ran second in this year's Super Derby. And that's just to mention a few of the superior runners by Badger Silver. Badger Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire that posted 11 triple-digit buyers, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. He's a lot of horse for $7,500, and there's a 6% discount if the fee is paid by November 1. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Get close to that thing. All right.
I will when I need to talk.
Well, you're going to talk right now. I've got Greg Virtual here with me this morning, and he's moved over here from Keeneland. How long you been out here now? Just not too long.
Just been here about 3 weeks, Mr. Ursula, yes.
Came out the first of the month, in other words.
Yes, sir. Yeah. As soon as they kicked me out of Keeneland, I come right on over.
Well, they kicked you out, they won't let me in. I said, well, yeah. I'd never met you before, and I don't see how our paths didn't cross as old as we both are. But seems like the first thing I noticed about you is you knew everybody out here, and everybody knows you.
Well, I grew up around Lexington here, Mr. Herschel. I actually started here in 1972. My dad bought a couple of horses and gave them to Donald Hughes, and my first experience on the backside was right here at the training center in 1972, working with Donald Hughes. I was 12 years old.
The Hughes family, I knew them all, Donald and
Lawrence Leonard.
Lawrence Leonard. Yeah. And Greg, I was in the sixth grade with one of the older brother, Grover, when Grover got killed.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was rock fell off the ceiling, fell in off Russell Cave down there and killed him.
Yeah, well, they were obviously a family of horsemen, and I learned a lot from Donald Hughes. And my dad, Donald trained for him for a year, and then my dad sold his insurance company and got his trainer's license and started training himself. So, 1973, he had a little horse named Harry Secret Joy that he did awfully well with. And then a few years later, we stood the horse's stallion, and then in the mid 80s, their horse came along named Gate Dancer. Harry Secret Joy was a half brother to Gate Dancer.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's the horse that
Jack Van Berg
had with him. Yep. He had put the earplugs in.
Well, he put blinkers with the ear. He had covers on his ears. Actually, they put the ear. I mean, they had the blinkers that covered his ears and his eyes too. So, yeah. So it was a really neat story. That horse was. That mare was a bully mare, and that Harry Secret Joy was by What a Pleasure. So it was as good a breeding as you could get at the time.
What a Pleasure, of course, Florida horse.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get a What a Pleasure?
What was that now?
Did they send a mare down there to breed?
I don't know. It was a horse. He was bred and cut out to be a nice horse and chipped his knee. And Dr. Hardhill took chips out of the horse's knee and left a big old ugly scar and blemish on the horse. So my dad claimed.
I'm glad Dr. Hardy was gone. He wouldn't want to hear that.
Well, it was what it was, But they got by with that horse a lot of times running him. Of course, he won allowance races at back then it was Latonia. My dad took him down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and won two races with him in 1976. And my dad was a gambling man, made enough money to buy a little farm down there. And we moved down there when I was 16. So, okay.
But you were born in Lexington?
Born and raised right around Lexington in Georgetown. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, did you have him in stud?
We stood that horse at stud when we moved to Hot Springs. We retired him and stood him stud there. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to high school here? Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Jesse Clark over in Lexington, then went to Tate's Creek for a year and a half in high school before we moved. I was halfway through my junior year. Mm-hmm. We moved to Hot Springs and I finished school down there. So, but we spent most of our time. Actually grew up here in town. Kieran McLaughlin and I were best friends from the time we were 9 years old, and we're still partners with a lot of stuff. And but we started going to the racetrack every summer when we were 12, and decided that at that age that we were going to be in the horse business. So, obviously Kieran's done well for himself, and I actually took some time off from the racetrack and. 1988, I left the racetrack and went to work at Calumet Farm. Took care of rubbed horses like Affirmed and Aladar. And,
oh, my goodness.
And then I went from there to TaylorMade as their yearling manager and raised a horse named Artax there. And then Sheikh Maktoum hired me and went over to work for him for a year and a half. Raised Fantastic Light, who's another Eclipse Award winner.
In Dubai?
No, I work for them here in Versailles.
Oh, okay.
Raised all their yearlings there. And then Mr. Stronach hired me from Sheikh Maktoum, and I went to Florida, worked for him for 7 years, raised Ghost Zapper and Ginger Punch, a couple more Eclipse Award winners. And so I've been blessed to have been around good horses all my life.
What kind of temperament did those two, Ghost Zapper? He's really doing good at stud.
Ghost
having
Zapper,
a great year this year.
Ghost Zapper was a horse that had some family going in. Obviously a half brother to City Zip. but a very low maintenance kind of horse. You never knew he was around until he started running.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
he was a freak.
He was. Yeah. Just a, you know, really nice baby and real nice, easy horse to raise. And as most of them, you know, the good horses. But he was, you know, obviously a wonderful racehorse. So mm-hmm. one of my favorites of all time.
Have you been down to see him since you went to
school? Of course, you bet. Yeah. Yeah, and he started out like a lot of the good sires do, you know. Chris S., El Prado, a lot of those horses, their first couple of years are slow, but then as the horses mature and they breed horses that are, you know, that are classic kind of horses. So it shouldn't surprise people that, you know, that they're not precocious starting out.
Yeah.
But he's turned into a really nice sire.
Oh, yeah. He's a great, you know, he's having a terrific year this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to go down and take a look at him.
Big plain brown wrapper. He's not a horse that jumps out at you, and that's the way he was as a baby. Yeah. You know, he's just a bay colt, but knew he had enough pedigree that it wasn't a big surprise that he was a racehorse that he was.
Now, when you started here at the training center, who owned the place at that time? Was that when Joe Johnson had it? Or?
Joe Johnson owned it, yes, sir, and Dr. Pesson was running it.
Okay. Now, at that time, they just had the 5/8 foot trim out track.
That was it, the covered track and the three block barns, yes.
Yeah, three.
Yeah,
yeah
that was it then.
Yeah.
But loaded with characters.
Well, that hadn't changed.
Loaded with characters.
That has not changed whatsoever. It it's changed. Well, the place here changed, though.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Wonderful facility. I mean, the track, I'm really excited about the surface. You know, I've been training on the poly track for the last couple of years, and it's, you know, the poly track has its advantages, but I'm glad to be back on a conventional track.
No, I hear a lot. I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People come in that not just from Keeneland or places, but they really like this track.
Yes, sir.
And I've been doing this clocking here for about 9 years, and it's a pretty safe track.
Yes, sir.
And we've got a hell of a track man. He just Harold Reed just does a marvelous job, I think. You know, and a lot of people don't. You know, it's hard to keep a dirt track. Good,
consistent in the wintertime, especially, yes.
We did. I think we lost a half a day last year.
Yeah.
And one day the day before. So we don't lose a whole.
Well, we lost more days than that at Keeneland.
Well.
And that's on a track that doesn't freeze. But if you can't get to the track, it doesn't matter what.
Well,
it's
now
like.
That's the biggest problem here, but they've kind of solved that, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. Well, it sounds like you spent more time on the farm than you did on the racetrack.
Well, my wife and I still have a breeding operation here and a sales agency. We have Crossroads Sales and Crossroads Farm. So
we're
pretty diverse. We're on Harrisburg Road right next door to Mr. Ramsey's farm, Ken Ramsey's farm there, mm-hmm. right before you get to 169. The old Springman farm that Barbara was born on.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Springman.
Springman.
Okay.
Yeah, Harold Mullis owns it. It's a beautiful farm, 250 acres that we raise a lot of babies on, and of course we do layups, and it's a facility that you can do that we do everything we need.
Breeding farm?
Yes, sir.
You got any mares you own?
I do own a few mares, not as many as I used to, but we get a lot of mares from Florida and New York and Maryland for clients that after they foal. In their mm-hmm. respective states, they'll send them to us, and we get them back in fold to Kentucky Stallions, and then send them back wherever they're from.
So,
it serves a purpose.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What do you do with yours? You sell? Are you on the market, or you sell them privately?
We breed primarily commercially, yes, sir, because mm-hmm. we have a sales agency. But now that I'm training again, we will race. Some horses that we own if we don't get what we think they're worth. So, but we primarily breed commercial.
Yeah. Sally Keeneland and Phasic Tipton are both?
Both Phasic Tipton primarily. But we've been very fortunate. I've got a couple of local clients. Mr. Haynes, Alvin Haynes, has been good to me all my life. And we have some horses for him. We actually are partners with a couple of racehorses and we have some mares for him as well.
Yeah, he's got a big operation, hasn't he?
Well, he has a big business between his trucking company, and he doesn't own many horses. not like he used to. But
didn't he used to run a big stable?
No, sir. No. No,
no,
he's never.
Okay.
My dad trained for him, and usually if we had three or four horses was kind of the top end for Mr. Haynes. But
mm-hmm.
he's in it for, you know, the enjoyment, and he loves the industry. And but I do have a few mares for him and a couple of racehorses.
Yeah, right. You training some for him now?
I am. Yeah, we actually have a really nice filly that won three in a row. Just won the Remington Oaks the end of September, named Styx Wonder Girl.
Oh, good. Stevie Wonder Boy, she is
a Stevie Wonder Boy,
yeah,
really nice filly. And filly just won Friday. Brilliant Autumn belongs to Mr. Haynes and a guy named Paul Braverman. So
now you were telling me about a 2-year-old by the daddy you had the other day.
I have a little horse by the daddy. He's actually going to run him a week from today up at Mountaineer. Governor Jones has been a big supporter, and he's obviously, we had the Stevie Wonder Boy, and
yeah,
I had a colt that topped the July sale last year by Harlan's Holiday, and out of one of Governor Jones's mares.
Is that right?
So yeah, it seems like anything that I do that involves Governor Jones or Mr. Haynes seems to turn out well, so I try to stay close to him.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break and I'll get right back to you. You're keeping yourself in good company, as it says, the going says, as it says.
Yes, sir.
Well, last Saturday at Churchill, the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf Stakes was won by Lee, a 3-year-old colt by First Samurai, bred and owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillschneider. Winner of three of his five starts and never out of the money, Lee went into the Commonwealth Turf off a closing third in the Grade 3 Hawthorne Derby. Prior to that, he'd posted a couple of wins at Saratoga. He's one of nine 2012 stakes winners sired by First Samurai. Three more are placed in stakes this year. One of the nine is, of course, the Fleet 2-year-old filly Executive Privilege, winner of four stakes, including the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante, the Grade 1 Chandelier, and the Grade 3 Sorrento. Second in the Grade 1 Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, she's a contender for an Eclipse Award for Champion 2-year-old filly. Seven of the first Samurai's 12 2012 stakes horses have won a place in graded stakes. First Samurai, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner and a son of champion sire Giants Causeway, stands at Claiborne Farm for $25,000 due in the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Pure Prize can sire the home run horse. He sired eight Grade 1 stakes winners, among them Pure Clan, winner of over $1,987,000, and Pure Clan was sold for $4,500,000 at the recent breeding stock sale at Keeneland. Pure Prize is a graded stakes winner by Stormcat out of Heavenly Prize. She was a champion by Seeking the Gold, and he stands for a bargain, $7,500 doing a full stands in nurses at Vinery, Kentucky. That's the home also of Congrats and Kodiak Cowboy, Mayor Mahoney's More Than Ready, Pioneer of the Nile, and Street Hero. Vinery also has superb facilities in New York and in Florida. In fact, they're equipped to handle your every need in the thoroughbred industry. Boarding, breeding, sales prep, sales, rehab, breaking. They even have a very successful racing partnership program and a resident bloodstock agent. So give them a call at 859-455-9388. Ask for John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, and see the website at vinery.com. All righty, I'm talking to Greg Virchel. What's the name of your farm, Greg? What do you call it?
Crossroads Farm.
Crossroads Farm, okay. And it's down in, is on it in Jessamine County?
Nicholasville, yes, sir. Just on the other side of the line on Harrisburg Road. Like I said, we're right next door to Ken Ramsey's farm.
Yeah.
6 miles from New Circle Road.
Did you, now let's get back to where you first came out here. You said the first trainer you worked with was your dad and then Donald Hughes?
No, Donald Hughes trained horses for my dad when my dad first bought a couple of horses. And
you came and worked for him?
Worked for him and a fellow named Jim Arnett. Jim Arnett, my dad is actually married to Jim Arnett's daughter. Now we were good friends and I did a lot of business, a lot of work with Jim Arnett over the years. But they all kind of run in the same crowd, you know. Back then, Jim Arnett and Donald Hughes and Angel Montana, a lot of the older guys that I grew up around.
Donald's still training, isn't he?
Donald is still training around Turfway and River Downs. And,
yeah,
still amazingly, still kicking.
Yeah. How long, what time frame back in the early 70s, you said?
1973, that was when I first
came. Yeah, how long did you stay with Donald?
Well, just till my dad, Donald trained for my dad for a year, and then my dad got his trainer's license. My dad's name was James Burchell, and then trained for about 16 years, had a lot of nice horses. And
did you go with him on a racetrack?
Or? My dad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I galloped all my dad's horses for 14
galloped.
Years.
Hey, you're a big guy.
Yeah, well, I'm older now, you know. I was always a little taller, but I stayed around 150 pounds.
Is that right?
When I was in my, you know, late teens and till I turned 30. When I hit 30, it got a little bit harder for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I galloped horses for 14 years. Galloped horses for a lot of good trainers for, Jack Vanberg and Billy Mott, Neil Howard, Larry Edwards. Galloped a lot of nice horses over
there. How was Jack to work for?
He was easy to work for. You know, he, had his own style of training. And,
were you at his training center down in Louisville?
No, sir. No. I galloped horses for him at Churchill Downs in Oaklawn Park. But amazing man, Mr. Vanberg. Even though he had a lot of horses and was in and out a lot, didn't have a horse that he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know exactly what was going on with him. A brilliant mind for a horse, you know, obviously, and a good horseman. So, but learned a lot from Mr. Vanberg. Yeah, that's the reason why I galloped horses for those guys. My dad never had more than, you know, 8 or 10 horses, so I had a lot of spare time. And as a young man, you know, that was I had a lot of time to go out when we got done and get on horses for other people just trying to learn, you know. So I figured anybody that you could work for, you would learn something.
Did you first start galloping down at Oaklawn?
No, sir. Actually, the first track I galloped horses on was Arlington Park. Graduated in 1978 and went right to the racetrack. My dad had horses there. And at the time I got there, he and Mike Lauer were the only two people left on the backside. And I barely knew how to get tied on and tie a knot.
Yeah.
But that track, I was the only person out there, so I didn't have to worry about getting in too much trouble.
Yeah.
But through that winter, I learned a lot between galloping horses there and Hawthorne and Sportsman. And not many people wanted to get out and get on horses. So if you were game enough to come out, you could find something to get on.
Oh, so. I imagine so, yeah. Of course, Sportsman's gone now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Spent 3 years there in Chicago.
You lived up there?
A lot of fun. Yeah, well, we had clients that from there, and we had some Illinois breds, and my dad went to Oaklawn, and I stayed there in Chicago for the winter. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were living in Arkansas, was it you right close to the Oaklawn Park there?
We had a farm about 15 minutes away. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did you know John Starr?
Of course, everybody from Arkansas knows John Starr.
Okay.
Yeah. had the sales there in Little Rock, and he was involved with a lot of stuff.
That's right. Nice fella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
I got to know him a little bit, not real well, but like you say, everybody. Who was the guy that I can't think of his name right now, but he had started the Ponderosa steakhouse chain that was down there. What was his name?
I knew some Appletons. There was a guy named Appleton that I played baseball with that they owned some Ponderosas. I don't know if that was who started them or not. But.
No, this I can't remember the guy's name. He was a great friend of Bill Clinton's, and he owned a farm down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name now.
Well, the Clintons were big horse fans. Bill Clinton's mother and his brother Roger lived at the racetrack while the races are going on.
Well, she was from.
They lived there in Hot Springs. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, his mother was at my first wedding.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Roger and I were awfully good friends. And then, of course, Bill Clinton was the governor at the time. When I moved there, or shortly thereafter, but yeah, their family lived there, about not 5 minutes from the racetrack.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, big enthusiast.
Yeah, well, you finally came back to Kentucky though, so
that was my goal all along. Yes, sir. My wife is from North Carolina, and I met her there. I was out there breaking some horses 17 years ago,
in North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
Where were you in North Carolina now?
Just about 2 hours east of Raleigh, there's a guy who owned a big plantation there and decided he wanted to be in the horse business. So he bought him a bunch of yearlings and didn't have the first idea how to get them started or put a saddle on them. So the guy that was the manager there was a friend of mine, and he called me and asked me to come break them. So I met my wife there, and she came here that fall right out of college and fell in love with Lexington. And fortunately, she fell in love with me too. So,
well, that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. There's not many farms out in North Carolina.
Where the hell have plantations?
Where haven't you been? Maybe I should ask you that.
Didn't spend much time on the West Coast, but
yeah. Well, you could have gone with Van Berg out there.
He offered me the job when he was building the farm out there.
Did he? I don't think that was a good move for Jack. Do you?
No, I don't. But he's had a lot of endeavors. So
yeah, I had a good friend that kept head horses with him, Don Bruce. Did you ever meet Don?
No, sir.
He was my head horse named Hawkins Special.
Oh yeah, I remember that horse.
And switched partners.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkins Special was was a fast, big gray horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of the real good horses early in Mr. Van Berg's career were fast horses. When you think back about Dave's friend and some of the other the real speed horses,
you know, yeah. So. Did you ever? I guess his dad had passed away by the time you
Marion.
Yeah,
I did meet Mr. Marion. Yes,
did
sir.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a great horseman.
Yes,
was.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess that's where Jack learned his trade.
Where it usually starts.
Yeah. Exactly. From Daddy. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, geez. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. It's been fun talking to you. I'm glad you're out here.
Been a pleasure, Mr. Urso. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and hope you stay. You going to spend the winter with us? Or?
I plan on it. If I don't go to Oaklawn, I will be right
here. Oh, going to Arkansas.
Well, we might.
Well, the weather's a little bit better down there.
It is. Yeah, you'll get your cold days, but you know, I got about a 50-50 shot of going with. I hate to leave my wife here with all these mares to pull and sales coming up in January. So more than likely, I'll be sitting right here where I'm at.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Well, Greg, thank you for coming in. That wasn't so bad, was it? I had to con him into it. I told him I was going to pay him, but I lied. Thanks, Greg.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Mr.
All right. We'll be seeing you later, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, Mizzen Mass, I think I'm at the right place. Yeah, Mizzen Mass is a special kind of sire. Takes a special kind of sire to sire two winners of Breeders' Cup races in 1 year. One four-year-old filly sprinting, that's Misdirection, in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup turf sprint, beating the boys. And the other, a two-year-old filly going a mile in her first start in this country, that was Flotilla, when she won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup juvenile filly's turf. But what sets Mizzen Mass apart for me are the dozens of hard-hitting runners that win a major track sprinting around two turns on every type of racing surface. As a leftover from doing a race results show for about 50 years, I check out the winners of every track in America every day. Thank you, Bloodstock Information Services. And I see the Mizzen Mass winning from coast to coast. For instance, just a couple of days ago, Phantom Lover, a coat by Mizzen Mass, bred by Glencrest Farm, posted a wire-to-wire win in a $48,000 allowance race around two turns at Hollywood Park. Of course, that was on artificial. That was his second win in a row. I see runners like Phantom Lover every day by Mizzen Mass. The kind of horses that pay the bills. And that's why Mizzen Mass, to me, is a special kind of sire. Stands at Judmont Farm for $15,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, Call to Serve, winner of the Grade 3 Discovery Handicap. Balance, winner of the Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes. And Perspective, winner of the $150,000 Delta Mile Stakes. We're all raised on products from McCauley Brothers, the nation's first feed mill to devote 100% of the time and research developing products exclusively for the horse. Call to Serve was bred by Tracy Farmer and raised at Three Chimneys Farm. Balance was bred and raised at Dale Ridge Farm. Boy, they're raising a lot of runners. Perspective was bred and raised at Spendthrift Farm. They are too. The folks at McCauley Brothers take great satisfaction in the success of their clients and are proud of the fact that the winners of five Breeders' Cup races were raised on McCauley products, and that includes Fort Larned, winner of the big one, the Breeders' Cup Classic. We think that McCauley products are the finest in the world. Week after week, the performance of runners raised on their products back me up by winning major races the world over. To learn more about how McCauley's can help you, contact Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333. Stop by the office of 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's the guy that's...
All right. We're going to did you get a hold of him all right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have Steve Moody on here in about 10 minutes, 10 something like that. Meanwhile, I'm still looking at this old blood horse, at these old stud horses standing around. I gave you the Claiborne horses. I did. Let's see. That, we don't want to talk about this place. Over at Coldstream Stud, they had Reaping Reward and Heliopolis advertised. Reaping Reward for $250,000 live foal. He, of course, was a very good sire, and a half-brother to Whirlaways by Sickle out of Dust World by Sweep. And, of course, Whirlaway was by Blenheim II out of Dust World by Sweep. Heliopolis was a very, very successful sire. Is standing at this time for $250 for a live foal. And, of course, they had Bulldog, who was at this time 16 years old, and he was advertised as book foal. And that's when Miss Charlie Kinney was over there. Let's see what else we got. Over at Ellesmead Farm, Cy White was standing Lovely Night, who was by Pilot. He was bred by, if I'm not mistaken, Mrs. Ambrose Clark. And he was a very good steeplechase sire, as a matter of fact. He did. Was standing at Heartland Farm over down in Versailles. That was H.P. Mason's place. He did was a good racehorse by Victorian Cider, terrific racehorse named With Pleasure, who back in the 40s and mid-40s, he was a horse who could get two turns, but basically they used to run a sprint stake about every Saturday up in Chicago, and they'd draw some terrific fields, and With Pleasure was one of them. In Rock was another that would go in it. Spy Song. And Rippy, and they would they'd juggle those weights around, you know, and they just beat each other all summer long, but it made for great racing up in Chicago. But he did was a very, very nice sire. I don't know if ever I say that. I don't know if he ever sired much more than With Pleasure. I'm trying to think if he did or not. Probably did, that I can't recall. I know he was owned by Arnold Hanger and stood at Mr. Mason's Heartland Farm over in Versailles. Old Kenny Farm, which, of course, was George D. Widener's place. They stood 8:30 Jamestown and St. James. That's kind of funny because 8:30 was by pilot at a dinner time by High Time. He stood for $1,000. He was a really brilliant racehorse and a very, very successful sire. Jamestown was by St. James. St. James was son of Ambassador the Fourth. And they were all standing there. St. James was standing for $100. Jamestown for $250 and 8:30. Was standing for $1,000. What a beautiful horse he was. It was a chestnut horse with a star and a small stripe. And I could look out my bedroom window and see him. Who else did they stand over there at that time? I'm trying to think. They had a horse that went in for Turdy. It was standing there. I know a little later, Battleground came there. And he was a mean horse. Lived up to his name. I think of that horse's. I can't think of the other horse's name right now. My memory's just shot all the hell, I think. Eternal Bull was standing for Doug Davis at High Hope Farm out to Russell Cave. High Hope at that time was all the way down close to Lauderdale on the Russell Cave. And he later, later sold it to Spendthrift Farm. Who made a training center out of it. And but Eternal Bull was by Bulldog. Had a Rose Eternal by Eternal. Doug Davis was a real good friend with John H. Clark, and they had a advertising somewhere. I don't know where it was, but anyway, they wanted people to send in names. They had all these Eternal Bull yearlings and everything. They wanted to get named. And they were getting people to send in their suggestions. And Joe Palmer wrote that a lot of them sent in the names of turf riders were, you know, Eternal Bull. Standing at Green Tree, I know you heard a questionnaire who was a very superior sire by Sting. Mr. Bones was there. I know you haven't heard of him. He was a Royal Minstrel horse. He didn't make it. It's a Swing and Sway. It was by Equipoise. He was a good racehorse, but not much sire. Let's see. Granville, who was a very, very good racehorse, as a matter of fact. He won the Belmont Stakes. I know he won the Travers, and he won the Lawrence Realization. Got beat in the Preakness. I think he ran second in the Suburban also. But he was a top racehorse, ran against some really top horses, Discovery, Brevity, Sun Teddy, horses like that. Amphitheater, who was the son of Sir Galahad III out of a St. James mare, was standing at Green Tree at that time. Of course, the Green Tree is now Gainesway. I know that the questionnaire is buried over there. I need to get over and visit that cemetery. And see if Granville was buried there. He probably is. I don't know about these other horses. Now, Third Degree was a son of Questionnaire. I was also standing there. A questionnaire stud fee was $750. Bargain, as a matter of fact. The rest of them all stood for $200. S. Hewitt was advertised as a pilot. Who was standing at in Montana Hall at in White Post, Virginia, for $400. And let's see, Calumet was standing Bull Lee at the time for $250. Chance Play, another very successful sire, was standing for $500. Sun Teddy was there for $250. Then they also were standing Bostonian and Hattigal. You know, all those horses sired some runners. The best of the bunch, of course, was Bull Lee. He's a great sire. And then Chance Play. But Sun Teddy was a pretty good kind of a stud horse himself. Brookmead Farm in Virginia had Psychic Bid and Okapi. Cy White had a horse named O-1 who was by Lucalite. I wonder where Cy got him. That's Henry's father. I bet you Henry can remember. Blue Flyer was standing over at Crestwood Farm, which was owned by Thomas Carr Pyatt. now. That's Pope McLean's place over on Spur Road. Blue Flower was the son of Blue Larkspur. He was a full brother to Blue Delight, who's a top race mare, of course, and Blue, and also another good horse named Larkspur. So it's, you flip through here, and you just here's Patch and Wilkes Farm advertising Balladeer. They had purchased Balladeer from Colonel E.R. Bradley, and they had their choice. He could have bought either Blue Larkspur or Balladeer, and they bought Balladeer because he was younger. And they did very well with him. I mean, he sired some top-class horses. Of course, Double J was by Balladeer, and so was Spyson, among others. Kentucky Colonel was a Balladeer. Papa Redbird was a Balladeer. Those are the four horses that went that did very well at stud, incidentally. Miss J. O'Keen over at Keen Stud. Of course, that Keeneland was standing Grand Slam, the original Grand Slam. He was by chance play. Silver Horde, Jean Valjean, or as I used to say, Jean Valjean, probably. And Invermark. Invermark was by Teddy. He wasn't much. Jean Valjean neither was either. As a matter of fact, none of the four did very well. Here's an advertisement for Hagen and Haggard, 145, 147 East Short Street in Lexington, Kentucky. I remember where it was. It was right down on Short Street between Limestone and what is now used to be Walnut Street. Now it's Martin Luther King Boulevard. Here's some testimonials to their products. So here, listen to this. We have used the Haggard veterinarian remedies for the past 12 years with most successful results. The remedies we use most are absorbent lotion, strong absorbent, colic remedy, fever remedy, cough remedy, always with success. We expect to continue the use of these remedies, for they have been of great help to our farms, and assigned by Harry B. Scott, Faraway Farms. And then here's another one. This is, we have used the Haggard veterinary remedies for a number of years with much success. Remedies used most, fever remedy and a sweat absorbent. We can cheerfully recommend them to anyone needing them for anything for which they are prescribed. Signed, Hal Price Healy, Beaumont Farm. Isn't that neat? I love stuff like that. Yeah, let's see. What time is it getting to be? I've already talked about Elmendorf Farm, didn't I? And I talked about Beaumont. And I talked about Mirrorworth Farm. Who else is Ravidson? Got some studs in here. Oh, Mr. Thomas Pite, I mentioned them too. Charlton Clay, Marchmont Farm, which is now, of course, owned by Claiborne Farm. It's if you go past the main entrance of Claiborne on Winchester Road in Paris, it's a first really beautiful house on the left as you're driving. You know, just around the turn there, I guess. Not Marchmont. It's I'm pretty sure it's on the left. Yeah, there's one on the right too. That's where Ms. Hancock.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was right because I went by there and looked at a couple of yearlings one time with, I forget who I was with now. But he raised a lot of good horses there. Well, at that time, he was standing, it was called Marchmont, and he had Diavolo. And he sired some pretty good horses. He sired a horse named Twofold, who won the Wood. White Cockade won the Withers, and a couple of other stakes races. Mars Shield won the Kentucky Oaks. That's good enough. He was a pretty good kind of a stud horse. By Whisperum the Second out of Vexatious by Peter Pan. That was a horse named Diavolo. I got a lot of mileage out of this one old blood horse here, didn't I?
Very good.
I love that kind of stuff. I'm sure I'm boring everybody to tears, but that's the way it goes. That's the price you pay for listening to this silliness. Well, Jazzle is the sire of 5 stakes horses in his first crop. Now 3 rolls. Have I done this? I don't think so. 3 stakes winners and 2 that have placed in stakes, and he's rapidly gaining an international reputation for sign runners. 2 have won stakes in Europe, the 3rd in South America. South American stakes winner is a horse named Comediante. A winner of two Grade One stakes down there, including the Simon Bolivar, which is one of the most important races in South America. Jazz was also the sire of the Fleet Zizzle, a recent second in the 6 furlong sophomore sprint stakes, and a multiple allowance winner. He's won over 102,000. And Najar, who placed in the Rich Arlington Classic. Jazzle's also the sire of the promising 2-year-old filly Love Me Good, who placed in stakes at Delaware Park after she ran fourth in greatest stakes at Churchill Downs. Jazzle won, of course, the Belmont Stakes, as did his champion half-sister, Rags to Riches. He is, by seeking the gold and his dam, Jazzle's dam, won graded stakes and was a broodmare of the year. His second dam was a Kentucky Oaks winner. His third dam was another broodmare of the year. He's one of the best bred young sires in the world. Jazzle, $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. And see the website at shadwell.com. Won the Grade One Wood Memorial as a 3-year-old by a stunning 17.5 lengths, equaling the track record and posting a buyer speed figure of 120. Proven Grade One sire Bellamy Road is to stand the 2013 season for $20,000. Doing a full stanza nurses at Windstar Farm. That's the home also of four of the top 20 on the 2012 sire list. That would be Sprightstown, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, and Tis Now. It's the home of the leading sire of 2-year-olds, Harlan's Holiday. It's the home of the number one ranked sire by North American earnings, Sprightstown, and the leading freshman sire among sires that are going to stand the 2013 season in this country, and that's Spring at Last. For more information or to book a mare for 2013, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard, 873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All right. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me now, I hope. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here, Ursula.
Ah, hot dog. We got a pair of stakes up there, but the Golden Rod, I couldn't think of it a minute ago, the Golden Rod and the Kentucky Jockey Club stakes. So how about a couple of winners today from the man who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by our good friends out of Bloodstock Research. Couldn't do without him. Who do you like up there today, Steve?
All right, Ursula. Well, we've got it's Fast and Firm up there for the final weekend. We got, of course, they're running tomorrow. Saturday of Thanksgiving used to be the traditional closing day, but now they go to all the way through Sunday. But we are Fast and Firm. No changes in either race as of now. We got a field of 9 in the Golden Rod, and that's, of course, 2-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th, grade 2. And pretty well-matched field. Got a horse in here coming out of the Breeders' Cup. That would be Broken Spell, the 3 horse for Wayne Lucas. I think the race that you can throw that race out at Santa Anita, this is a horse that likes to close ground. And there was no closing ground at the Breeders' Cup if you ran on dirt. That track was very much favored the front runners on all the dirt races there. So I think you can throw that last race out for Broken Spell. I expect a better result from her today. The bottom horse, the 9 Gallop Out Town. This horse has got good early speed herself. I think that you can expect her to probably go to the front from the outside. And Jesus Castanon will probably try to ration her speed and hope to have enough left to get home with her. The 7 horse, Liberated, this is a curling filly that keeps improving each time out for Victoria Oliver. And I think that, you know, when you have lightly raced horses like these are, they can really improve from race to race. Would not be surprised at all to see her with a big effort today. The horse I like here, Ursula, is the 4, Silver Strike. This is a sprinter stretching out to ride her ground today. She came from well off the pace when she sprinted. She won a race at Keeneland and came from out of it and got up to win. And then she came right back at Churchill. She ran on opening day, trying winners for the first time. I thought she ran a big race there, and even though she got beat, big improvement for her. She comes out of the race with two good works, and I think, like I said, these fillies are so lightly raced, and they can make big jumps from, you know, in a month's time. So I think I'm going to give her the edge in here a little bit. Ursula, 8-1 in the morning line. So we get a little bit of a price. I'm going to go Silver Strike on top, Liberated second, and Gallop Out Town third. So 4, 7, and 9 in the Goldenrod.
All right. How about the Boys Stakes?
All right, the boys, that's the Kentucky Jockey Club. That's the 11th race. And a field of 14 entered in there. They'll all run. If they want to, they can run 14. And really a tough race, Ursula. I think you could make a case for 5, 6, 7 of them. It wouldn't surprise me at all. The favorite in the race is the 4-horse Uncaptured. He switched over to the dirt there on opening day and won the Iroquois. Did that in pretty easy fashion. I think he's definitely the one to beat. The 6-horse, I think's kind of intriguing. Frack Daddy. He was second first time out up at Delaware in his first start. Put Lasix in him last time out. Came into Churchill and just pounded a pretty good field of maidens. Came out of that race with a bullet work. And, you know, even though he's obviously trying winners today, again, these horses lightly raced and going from winners to a stake in this case, at least for a 2-year-old, it's not that huge of a jump. He'll be running from off the pace. I'm going to give him a chance near to upset Uncaptured. I do think he's the horse to beat. You know, was impressive winning the Iroquois. Obviously has a race over the track. The 9-horse Dewey Square, another horse that's unbeaten, and he can rate, he can show speed. He's got some, you know, he's got the leading rider Corey Lannery aboard. Dale Romans, who just seems to win everything. He won, of course, the big race yesterday. Won the Clark with Shackelford, and I don't know how much money he's cost me this year, but it's been a ton. Because I always seem to try to beat him, and he steps up and smacks me down. So I'm gonna try him to beat him again. I'm gonna take Frack Daddy on top, Uncaptured second, Dewey Square third. So we'll go. Let's see, 6, 4, 9 in the Jockey Club.
All righty. Pretty good card today.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're going to start doing the fairgrounds.
Yep. Starting on, I guess they come back. I think they're, of course, they're running this weekend, but starting, I guess, next Thursday, I'll be switching over to the fairgrounds for the winter until all the way till their meet ends and, you know, start the Keeneland again.
Okay. Well, I'll take a winner at Fairgrounds, so we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. All right. Well, in stakes last Saturday, the Grade 3 $1 million Delta Downs jackpot was won by Golden Sense, a 2-year-old colt in the first crop by End of Mischief. In 3 starts, Golden Sense won his debut by 7 1/4 lengths at Del Mar, finished a solid second in the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes to Shanghai Bobby, the son of Harlan's Holiday, incidentally, who's also the sire of Into Mischief. Then the Grade 3 Delta Downs jackpot. That same day at the same track, sitting at the bar, a two-year-old filly by Into Mischief, placed in the Grade 3 Delta Princess Stakes. Into Mischief currently ranks second on the freshman sire list among stallions to stay in the 2013 season in this country. His sire, Harlan's Holiday, is the nation's number one ranked sire on the 2012 juvenile sire list, and he was a Grade 1 stakes winner as a two-year-old himself. Another freshman sire based at Spendthrift Farm, Tis Wonderful, was represented by his ninth winner on November 16th when first-time starter Lucky Two bested a full field in a maiden special at Churchill Downs. Then on November 18 in Japan, Tis Tremendous became his 10th first crop winner. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner, is a two-year-old and a son of Tis now, counts the Grade 3 stakes winner and Grade 1 placed My Happy Face among those 10 first crop winners. Into Mischief's going to stand the 2013 season for $7,500. Tis Wonderful, 12-5. Fees are due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feller, and Ed Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty, I'm going to take care of my good friends David Schweitzer over to KTA and Toba and announce the stakes winners, Kentucky bred stakes winners, the breeders of those horses from last week, and the Mrs. Revere Stakes at Churchill Downs, Grade 3, went to Center Court, was bred by G. Watts Humphrey and Louise Ireland Humphrey. The winner of the Delta Downs Jackpot. And that is a jackpot, as a matter of fact. $1 million pot, Golden Sense won that. He's, of course, by Into Mischief, stands at Spendthrift Farm, and he was bred by Rosecrest Farm and Karen Pirello. Rose to Gold, who won the Delta Downs Princess Stakes, Grade 3, was bred by Joe Mulholland Jr., and Karen Mulholland. From over in Scott County. Call to Serve, winner of the Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at Aqueduct, of course, was bred by Tracy Farmer. Lee, who won the Commonwealth Turf Stakes at Churchill Downs, Grade 3, is by First Samurai and stands over Claiborne Farm, and he was bred by Claiborne Farm in partnership with Adele Dillsnyder. The Delta Mile Stakes, $150,000 pot, at Delta Downs went to Perspective, a three-year-old colt. He is by Malibu Moon, bred by Spendthrift Farm, and he, of course, he won the Ohio Derby and the Tampa Bay Derby and a couple of other stakes this year, so he's earned $700,000 now. The winner comes stakes run at Aqueduct, Sealed Cove, bred by Stuart S. Janney III, and I'm sure assume it was raised over at Claiborne Farm. The Orleans Stakes at Delta Downs went to Monono, bred by Catesby Clay's Runnymede Farm in partnership with Cates, the self-same man, Catesby Clay, over in Bourbon County. The Pentella Stakes at Aqueduct, My Wanda's Girl, was bred by PHW Equine Investments. And the Sam's Town Stakes at Delta Downs was won by Do No Harm. It was bred by the Double Eagle Ranch, a Kentucky bred. Typhoid Mary sitting over here. Typhoon? Well, normally it's Typhoon, now it's Typhoid. I was going to say, I've got a minute here, haven't I?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they're running the Remsen today as a very historic stakes up what's that lousy state up there in New York?
New York.
But it's not a first ran in 1904, and a horse named Dandelion won it. The first major winner was a very interesting horse, though, a horse named Greylag. And he won the 1920.
Do we have his Remsen picture up at home?
No, I don't have a picture of Greylag.
Oh.
No. He's a chestnut horse. Contrary, was not gray, but he had a gray patch. Up on his side, it was covered by the saddle cloth. And there's a little story about that.
Did it involve the teaser?
No, it didn't. He was bred by John E. Madden, Jackie. And I don't think he was by Starshoot.
I'm just kidding.
Out of Miss Medler by Medler. I don't think he would have read that mare to the teaser. But anyway, Mad Bread, 182 stakes winners. He said this was the best of them.
Oh.
Quaylag. And sold him as a yearling to Max Hirsch for $10,000. It took him 5 starts to break his maiden as a 2-year-old, but it did in Belmont Park. Ran third in the Futurity, got beat by a horse named Step Lightly. That's a nice name, isn't it? Then he won the Champagne Stakes by 6 lengths. And prior to the Champagne, Sam Hildreth, who was working for Mr. Harry Sinclair at the time, trained for him. He was buying horses for him. And he came to see him, and he turned him down because Hildreth was very superstitious. He didn't like that gray spot on his side. And
he'd seen the teaser.
Yeah, he was afraid he was by the teaser. But well, he won the Champagne Stakes by 5 lengths. And after the Champagne, Mr. Sinclair himself went to see him. He priced him for $40,000 prior to the Champagne Stakes, and after that went up 20. He had to pay $60,000 for him, which he did gladly. And he ran 6 more times as a 2-year-old, trained by Hildreth. He won the Remsen and the Autumn Day Stakes, which was at Empire City. And he ran 2nd and 3 more stakes and 3rd and another. 1921, he got really good. He won 9 of his 13 starts, 8 stakes, including the Belmont, the Brooklyn, and the Dwyer, and the Knickerbocker, the latter under 130 pounds. As a 4-year-old in 6 starts, he won 5. And was 1 second. Only loss came to Exterminator by head in the Brooklyn Handicap. He won the Empire City Handicap under 132 pounds. He carried 131 in Saratoga Handicap. Won a couple of other stakes. As a 5-year-old in 5 starts, he had 4 wins, 1 second. Won the Suburban under 135. He won the Metropolitan under 133. Went to stud. Sired only 19 foals, and then he became totally sterile. Went back in training at age 9. Won 6 more races through age 13, and was running for a $2,000 claiming race up in Canada. And Mr. Sinclair bought him and turned him out. Ended his career with 47 starts, 25 wins, 22 of them were stakes. And he earned $136,375. So, at least he ended up retired, you know, but there were people who were raising hell. They saw him up there and, they said Mr. Sinclair was really embarrassed. So he went up there and bought him and brought him home.
Yeah.
That's called CYA.
Right. And at least he can afford the CYA.
Yeah. Before I forget, for the next 3 straight Saturdays, we're on from 9 till 11. So the next
if I live, I'll be here.
Well, oh, you're going to live. You're too mean. since last week's show, we have had winners saddled by Wayne Mogie, Tim Shue, Ted Lucas, Floyd Cobb, Kellen Gorder, Rod McDowell, Tom Bergen, Bobby Sturgeon, Oscar Modiker, Jimmy Cargan, Bobby Sturgeon again, Tommy Skinner, and Wayne Mogie. Wayne has had a hell of a month. He's had 5 winners this month, 3 at Mountaineer and 2 at Churchill.
Yeah.
So he trains here at the Thoroughbred Center.
And it will be up on the internet, the show, because I have finally learned how to do it. It's only taken a year or two, thanks to the guys over at the Lexington Computer Clinic over in the Myers at Beaumont. Is that Beaumont?
No, it's Man of War.
It's Hamburg. Hamburg.
On Man of War, right off Man of War.
I know.
Gotta go.
Okay.
We thank you, Mary Jane, down at the studio, and thank you, Ressie, here, and we'll talk to you next week.